Reverend Dr. Ohneba Enyani Boadum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Boadum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Boadum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr. Ohneba.
I'm speaking this morning on removing the middleman. See after me, removing the middleman. And I know that God is going to bless you. I've had a change in my spirit. I have a change in my thinking. I've had a change in my orientation. And I am so fired up with my belief in God. It's a scripture that says that I, the Lord, I have called him, his way will prosper. When the Lord calls you, your way will prosper. And many a times when we are young in the ministry, we tend to think that our purpose or the fulfillment of our purpose from God is dependent on the people that hear us. But I've had a change. Oh, glory to God. I've had a different mindset. Removing the middle man. So today is the third of our series on the Spirit. And is in line with our theme for the year, our year of the Spirit. 2 weeks ago, I started teaching by the grace of God on God, His Spirit. And I followed it up with His Spirit and in truth. I pray that you get a hold of the CD or tune into the podcast and listen to it. Removing the middleman. The middleman used in today's context represents the prophets. Say the prophets. The seers. Say the seers. The miracle workers. Say the miracle workers. And other powerful men of God. See, powerful. You see, at the beginning of the series, I taught you about three major dispensational relationships, which by God's grace, we edited it into four and tried to separate the dispensation of the Son last week. Now, the first dispensational relationship, God decided to relate to man by himself. The Bible says in Genesis 3:8 that God would walk into the garden where Adam and Eve were, and they could hear his footsteps coming. So God was not coming to Adam and Eve as a spirit. He came bodily. The Bible speaks of Abraham in Genesis 18, that sitting under the terebinth tree in Mamre, he saw God and two other angels walking. And he said, can you come in and eat? Let me wash your feet and all that. They came. He washed their feet. He gave them food to eat. Now, spirits don't eat. So God decided to relate to men by himself personally. Then the Bible speaks about Jacob. And the Bible says that in Genesis, I think 32, thereabout, it says, and when he was left alone, this is a recap, there appeared a man that wrestled with him. Now, this wasn't a vision, because the man actually appeared and fought with him till he could not prevail, and it was morning, and he touched the hollow of his thigh, and his joint fell off. This was God. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7 to 8, the Bible says that When Moses died, the people of Israel mourned for him for 30 days. But the verse number 10 is what I want you to realize. He says, after the death of Moses, there was no prophet, no matter how anointed he was, that God related to him face to face like Moses. So, this means that the death of Moses was the climax of the first dispensational relationship where God decided to meet with men face to face. However, even in the subsequent relationships, we could still see traces of the first relationship. Occasionally, sporadic appearances, God would just appear to somebody. But that was not the order of the day. You remember Joshua saw God holding a sword and he said, who are you? Are you on our side or are you on the other side? Then he says, as captain of the Lord's army have I come. Blessed be God. Amen. So, Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 1 said that God, who in time past and in various places spoke to our fathers by the prophets. That was the second dispensational relationship. God began to relate to men through prophets. This, I explained to you, were the times of dependency. Men became dependent on God, and that is how God wanted it to be. So God emptied his power, his strength into one man. And woe to you if you go to war without consulting the prophet. You will lose. Your economic status as a country depended upon the words of the prophet in your town. That is how strong they were. Israel were delivered in battles against Syria because of the word of Elisha. Glory to Jesus. When people were in debt, they would go to the prophet and not to the bank. Those were the times of dependency. Then the Bible says in Hebrews 1 verse number 2, that God, who in time past and in various places spoke to us by his prophets, has now, so that was another dispensation, spoken to us through his son. So that was the third dispensation. It was a dispensation of the Son of God. And the Bible says that when he came, he embarked on a mission in the city of Sychar, in the town of Samaria. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 4, verse number 3, that I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because the tides were changing again. And God from heaven had another dispensational relationship to throw our way. So the Bible says, even though Jesus was on the way to go and preach in Galilee, he said, you know, I have to go through Samaria. And there was a woman in the city of Sychar who noonday said also to herself, I have to go to Jacob's well and fetch water. Why? Because there was an assignment according to the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus, like I said, was the only man who could fulfill the requirements of the law to create the required aura or ambience for the coming in of the Holy Ghost. That was the dispensational relationship number 4. The dispensation of the Spirit. Now, there's another dispensational relationship which is going to happen. Oh, when we get to heaven, we will not see God only bodily, but we will see him in his glory. God will relate to us then, not by prophets, not even through seers or anybody. God is going to relate to us in person and in his glory. Where the Bible says that in that place, there will be no need for light, for the glory of God shines. So the glory that Moses wanted to see, that he could not see, we are going to see. Hallelujah. So that will be the ultimate dispensational relationship. But currently, we are in the spirit time. Say spirit time. And the Bible says in Joel chapter 2, he says that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So Jesus removed the biases of privilege and special areas as if that is the only thing that holds the key to your breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Now God wants to bless you more than your pastor tells you about. Hallelujah. God is not waiting for a program to bless you. God is not waiting for a major program which comes on every year before he will release your blessing to you. It is spirit time. And what Jesus tried to do in Samaria was to tell us to move away from the traditions of men, the predilections, to I have to see this man of God because it is in his hands that I have my breakthrough. There is nothing like that. Glory to Jesus. So why the message removing the middleman? Because presently in the body of Christ, many abuses have been suffered. Many abuses. Suffered in the name of the anointing. The very thing Jesus removed and abolished. That very thing. That there is no need to go to Jerusalem. Neither is there any need to say, it has to be on this mountain in Jacob's well before my prayers will be answered. No. He said, for neither in Jerusalem nor in Samaria, but the true worshippers shall worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The only two places you've got to be for true worship to take place is not at Atria, it's not at South Africa, it's not at Edufa, it's not at Hebron. It is in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Because God is everywhere. Your breakthrough is not tied specifically to one major, major prophet of God who is able with his eyes open like Balak said and yet seeing the visions of the Lord can read that your date of birth, your country of location, tell your mother's name, tell your father's name to woo you. No. Your blessing is in the spirit. In Africa and some parts of the world, you realize that there are some businesses such as the buying of lands or houses or properties that you encounter several middlemen. They are also known as agents. Say agents. Who go around looking for products and they will come to the public to sell. You see, dealing with them can be very frustrating. Why? They would never allow you access to the original owner of the property. They go to him, they get the prices, they inflate it, and then they bargain with you. When the owner wants to sell that property for 10,000, he will come and start from 15,000. And sometimes, what happens is that there's a fee you have to actually pay to this man in addition to the actual fee of the price you are paying. You see, anytime you deal with a middleman, you end up paying a lot. Oh, glory. And there are instances where if you have encountered the owner of the property himself, seeing you and the glory of God that is upon you, he was going to beat the price down. But this middleman is so hungry, and I repeat my words for free, he is hungry for something. And so, he makes sure you never encounter the property owner till he takes something from you, and then he takes your message and goes to give it to him, and comes and said, the landlord said, if you can meet him at 2 o'clock. The landlord said, he can't be here today. Can you come next week? Frustrating. This is the same thing, if not similar, to what we encounter in the spirit. There are people, men and women of God, people in your church, big brothers and big sisters, who seem to know the chronicles of God at the back of their hand and try to become an agent between you and God. Don't we all have middlemen? You do. Look around you. There's one particular person, he always has a word from God for you. Always. Anytime he sees you. You know, brother, the Lord says this. Anytime he sees you, he has a word for God from you. And when you meet him, he makes you feel as if, oh, how will I also ever get to know this God? With time, you become so hooked on. You become addicted to hearing God's word through that man. And never through God himself. Are they not so? They are. today they advertise on television, Madam, over how many years ago there be now there me wa for year 20 Ghana and I me told that there be trade there mu oil na odifo no ma me akwanchre na akwanchre no ma me no adechin ya pepe e na ebe mu. Many Christians, gullible Christians, immature Christians are losing their fellowship with God. You know, by and by, you know what happens? The relationship between them and these middlemen, between them and these agents, becomes stronger and stronger, whilst their relationship with God becomes weaker and weaker. There are people in church today who know their pastors more than they know God. There are people in church today who are quick, their feet harsh to their pastor's house. They know his telephone number of head. They don't know scriptures about 10 of head. They leave 66 chapters of the Bible, 1,189 books, chapters, I beg your pardon, 66 books, 1,189 chapters of the Bible, God's word uttered by the Holy Ghost, and they go in search for guidance from a man of God, not gods of men. Anybody who freezes, becomes impotent, becomes senseless in the presence of his master has already missed it. Any man of God that makes you feel like a senseless zombie when you are in his presence and your calculated powers are broken down and you do not know what to do in his presence, he's trying to be a middleman. How many of them haven't we seen? They poach people from churches. Madam, you know, the air or no? I saw a buffet near one pie. Why? Jesus said, neither in Jerusalem nor in Samaria. Pray on the phone. Why can't you pray on the phone? One day I prophesied on WhatsApp. I was chatting with a guy, said, that saith the Lord. The person says, neither in Jerusalem nor in Samaria. Why? Why? You know, the fee you pay to the agent before you pay the actual price, you end up paying them when you see such middlemen. The day it becomes difficult to see your pastor more than it is to encounter God, that man is trying to be the voice of God in your life, removing the middleman. Look around you. He always has a dream to tell you, I'm so dying. The sons of the prophet said to Elisha, knowest thou that God will take your master away? He says, shut up. I know. I don't need no middleman to lead me to God. Let me tell you about a revelation that is going to surprise you. Saul's middleman. King Saul, first king of Israel, he had a middleman. He did. He had a very strong middleman who, in my opinion, did not do him good. You see, instead of seeking God for himself, Saul always loved to be in the presence of this middleman, to hear from him, to know what God wants to do him to do. Saul never had a flourishing relationship with God personally. His relationship with this middleman was stronger than that with God. Are there middlemen in your life? Oh, yes, they are. When you see them, you give offerings that you don't give at church. When you see them, you buy them gifts that you don't give at church. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. Are there any middlemen in your life? Begin to remove them. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse number 19 to 20. This is King Saul and his first encounter with his middleman, Prophet Samuel. Oh, I know when I get to heaven, Samuel will tell me, wow, that was a good message. I didn't know I caused problems in Saul's life. Well, to your amazement, I can tell you that Prophet Samuel did not do Saul any good. The man doesn't necessarily have to be a con man to be a middleman. The middleman can be a genuine man of God who loves your presence and fellowship. Samuel loved to have Saul with him. He loved the boy. In fact, he loved the boy so much that Saul never saw the opportunity to seek God for himself. He always went through the middleman. 1 Samuel 9, verse number 19. This was their first encounter when he was looking for his father's donkeys. Samuel answered and said, I am the seer. So this is Saul and his servant are looking for the seer, the prophet, says the middleman, to help them find their lost donkeys. And then when they did, you want to read it.
Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house?
Look at a love story developing, and you may never see it. This is a middleman, a prophet, who has seen a young man that God has spoken to about. And he says, you know, I am the one you are looking for. In fact, the donkeys you are looking for have been found. Go up to the high places, I'm coming. And I will tell you the details of your heart. And on whom is all the glory and beauty of Israel? It's not on you and your father's house. Ooh, Samuel. I got to tread cautiously. Hallelujah. For Saul, God was arbitrary. Samuel was the real thing. Because the depth, the excavations of the prophetic that took place when he encountered Samuel, they were too deep. Go to chapter 10, verse number 1 to 9. Read.
Chapter 10, verse 9.
Verse 1 to 9.
Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin and Zelzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there.
Go to verse 9.
So it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day.
All those things. When you go, you will meet two people who will say this to you. When you climb the hill, you will see three prophets. One will give you two loaves. Everything that Samuel said to Saul came to pass. Every one of them. Saul was astonished. Saul was mesmerized. The prophetic detail was so intense. Saul couldn't believe. How can a man? The song the woman from Samaria sang about Jesus, Saul sang about Samuel. Come, O house of Kish. Beyini biya mahunu minimno. Saul was amazed at who Samuel was. Now, when you read on, you see, one thing he said in the verse 8, he said, he shall go down before me to Gilgal. Surely I will come to you and offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offering for you. Samuel told Saul, you can't give God an offering, not until I come and show you. Wow. Even 1 Samuel 11:11, just write it down. when they were gathering men for war, Samuel was still following Saul. When the men said, anybody who does not join Saul will die, and Saul said no, Samuel was there. He was still following Saul. He became so hooked onto him. But what happened to Samuel? Samuel also began to love having Saul around. Because for Saul, Samuel was the voice of God in his life. And the prophet Samuel actually enjoyed that. He enjoyed it. Look, don't be surprised, I'm teaching you this. There are men of God who love you to be at their behest. They take their phone and call, you'll be there. They know when you are coming, you are bringing an offering of 1,000 cedis. The Bible, or they are called men of, they are called what? Men of, oh, I don't hear you. Men of God. They are not gods of men. We are primarily men with the connection to God. He knows that once you get there, you drop some coins on the table. Samuel developed an affinity for the fellowship of Saul. He was the voice of God. Look around. I have some friends. Anytime they see you, they have a word for you. Anytime. Odifo, nyamese. Odifo, nyamese. Odifo, nyamese. Make me there. Afram Odifo. So Afram Odifo, they are. Any jam, I'm not going to speak to you. Or what you do to get connected to God, tell me. To do it, they never do. Why? They love the men to heal praises on them. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, God became angry with Saul. I'll tell you about another king who was able to speak to God on his own. Then you see the problem that Samuel created in Saul's life. He did not show him the way. He didn't. Even offering, he said, wait till I come. That's why one day he did an offering and then the kingdom was taken from him. Didn't Solomon offer? Solomon offered. Didn't David offer? Didn't all the kings give sacrifices? Why is it that only Saul? He gave one sacrifice and the kingdom was taken away from him. Why? Samuel was the voice of God in Saul's life and he loved it. I'm ready to defend myself when I meet him in heaven. When God had an issue with Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, God still did not go to Saul to tell him anything. He went to Samuel. He said, oh, Charlie, you know, I have regretted for making this guy king. God had no dealings with Saul. No. If you keep a middleman so long in your life, you will pale out from God's presence. God will not know you except through your middleman. Neither will you know God except through that man. Dependency. It can become so strong that even when you want to pray about something, now you want to call this prophet and ask him, what does he think about it? Am I telling the truth? Lift up your hand and say, it's true, Pastor. You see, whenever you don't hear from God yourself, you are bound to make mistakes. Hey, I said last night in study that the intensity of the message from God to us, once it goes through another man, it lowers down. You see, the reverence we give to God's word, once it comes to you through other men, by the time it gets to you, that reverence, you can bullshit it. You say, what is this? What is this? Woe to you if the person delivering that message is not somebody you respect. You will not even say it was from God. It's true. When God appears to you and says, my son Charles, I want you to do this and this, and there's no middleman, you use reverence and poor, you will shake, you will begin to do it. But when God has no direct access to you, because of your ignorance, and then you ply the trade of fellowshipping with God via a middleman. So God comes to that middleman and says, oh, you are, this is the one he loves to hear from. So go tell my son, that this and this and this is what he's supposed to do. And then he also has another middleman. Then he tells, before he gets to you, the purity of that word becomes affected. You see, the Holy Ghost is perfect. God is perfect. The gifts of God are perfect. But man, the vessel that he uses, we are imperfect. So sometimes, this is just an inspiration we have. If I say to you that God is going to change and do some things in your life, because I have an inspiration from God, but the act of delivering that inspiration can be messed up. Ooh, it can be messed up. One day, I remember when I was beginning, I ministered prophetically. I could not forgive myself when I was going home somewhere. I felt, no. The thing that was coming, I messed it up. Ah. But wouldn't you want to take a near miss prophecy from a genuine spirit than to take an accurate prophecy from a wrong spirit? Oh, I'm teaching. Samuel loved Saul. When God told him to go and kill all those Amalekites and he didn't, when Samuel came back, he met Saul. Saul said, oh, I've done everything God said I should do. I think I'm chapter 15. I want you to follow me. And then while I stop, you continue to read. He said, I've done everything God said I should do. And he said, oh, really? So what about this bleating of sheep that I hear and all that? And then he spoke the word of God to him. When Samuel was going, then Saul held his garment. I'm telling you, there was some affection between those two guys. Oh, will you? Even not Prophet Samuel, me, your senior pastor. I think we are all young people. When I'm going, can you hold my jacket and say, oh, pastor? You can't. Uh-huh. But Samuel was going, and so held the garment like that. And then the thing got torn. Well, it was Bruno, it was weak. The mantle was weak. When it got torn, there was a prophecy in his mouth. There are people who always have a word in their mouth. You are tearing at you. His garment just got torn. He said, ah, the same way you have ripped away my last coat, so will God tear the kingdom away from you and give it to another man. Be careful about people, Samuel. Yeah. Be careful about people who always have a word from God for you. Always. We have become not only a generation of itching ears, like Paul said, but red eyes, itchy eyes, hoping to tear up in the presence of what they see. Oh, what wondrous things we behold. Then, you know something that Saul said to Samuel? He said that. He said, even though I have messed up, you found that place, I think I'm around 24 there. He said, even though I've messed up, can you go with me to worship the Lord? Oh. Find that place for me. He said, even though I've messed up. You found it? Read it. Tell us the verse.
Then 30.
First Samuel 30.
15:30.
Go.
Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me that I may worship the Lord your God.
Is this the first time or the second time? Did he go with him this time? Read on.
So Samuel turned back from after Saul, and Saul worshipped the Lord.
So that was not the first time. That was the first time. Go to around the 20 something. The first time he said, can I go with you? He said, no, you can't. Then, when the garment, you found it, read that one, verse 20.
24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I have feared the people and obeyed their voice. Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord.
Okay, so this is the first time. And he says, can you return with me so I can worship God? And then the prophet said, no. 26, go on. Yeah, show me the screen. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. Okay. Then the garment tearing thing happened. Then he asked him again in verse 30, show me on the screen, that can you return with me? And then Samuel said, okay, let's go. So Even go when he had messed up, going into the house of God to worship God, he couldn't do it on his own. He needed a middleman. He needed Samuel to help him into God's presence. Now that is not a king after God's heart. You believe the rubber band you put on your hand from that church more than the word of God. You believe the rubber band you put on your hand from church more than the word of God that is told you. You leave 66 chapters of the Bible, 1,189 chapters, 66 books. Sometimes, you know, the sad thing is we have the Bible in our hand and we sit in queue waiting to hear the word of a man of God. The Bible is in your hand and you are in a queue. So what is happening is that the men of God who speak the word of God, their churches take time to grow. Why? Because of ignorant masses pulled up together because of the things they want to hear and see. Don't go to God through middlemen. A time will come in your life, God will not also speak to you except through that man. So when Samuel died, Saul had a bigger problem. 1 Samuel chapter 28. The Bible says, at the death of Samuel, Saul banished every middleman in the town of Israel. He did not want to be remembered. He did not want to remind himself of anything again. He said, no. Everyone. So the Bible says that, and Saul had banned the spiritists, the mediums, because a time is coming when the grace of God will also begin to astonish men. First Samuel 28, I thought I said that. Then he banned all people. Then there was war. The Philistines were encroaching on him. So he decided to do what he does not know to do. Go into the house of God for himself. And the Bible says that when he went like that, he prayed to God. He prayed to God. Nothing happened. First Samuel 28 verse 3. And when the Lord would not answer Saul, Samuel's pet. Don't be any prophet's pet. Now, oh, God, may come and get you. Wait, my boss is here. Go to your man, Kesim. When you finish, and there's time, come. I'm telling you, when you become senseless in the presence of that man of God, then he's trying to become your God. Where are you? I'm here. Okay, finish what you are doing. And then when you finish, I want to see you. You see, I rather prefer to work with somebody who can tell me the man of God, I didn't mean here, than the one who sees me and he becomes incontinent. He's suffering. Man of God, not gods of men, men of God. In the name of the anointing and the blessed ones and the localized preferences of the so-called chosen, women have lost their virginity in the name of the anointing. People have been abused, lost their money, lost their properties in the name of the anointing. For lack of knowledge, our people perish. Don't become a prophet's pet. When he died, he tried to do what the prophet does. Went to God to pray. And the Bible says, God would not hear him. Not even by the Urims or dreams or prophets. So, the crevices of his heart were exposed by God's silence. And a man longed to substitute the silence of God with the wordiness and verbosity of men. So he said to his servant, is there no middle man that I could use? Then his servant said, there is a witch in Endor. You see, the verse between is there no and the answer, there's no word between them. Who is your associate pastor? Who is your servant? And who is your friend? That servant could have helped save Saul. But he also was Yahweh to begin with. Is there no medium? Oh, don't worry, dear kid. There is a witch in Endor. How did he know of the witch in Endor? How did he know? He had gone there several times at night to seek for guidance. The prophet of the New Testament is never like that of the old. We do not, and I repeat myself for free before I start doing conferences, we do not seek guidance in the New Testament. Why? Galatians 4:5. Why? 1 John 4:4. Why? Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, glory. There is a witch in Endor. Then he said, let's go. So, my dear subordinates, pastors, colleagues, ministers, men and women of God, the day I lose the authenticity of my cerebrum and ask you, is there no other prophet? I pray that these teachings would have seeped into your gray matter and it will be the first thing that will come out of your head. That no, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. But there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, prophet 2. No, the man, prophet AK123 Waspanyo. No, the man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no God like him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 18. He says, for by Jesus we have access to the Father through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Through Jesus, we have access by one Spirit to the Father. It is not through your prophet at Kokobi Island. No. It is not through your prophet on Sai Hills. No. It is by Jesus, through Jesus, and by the Spirit. So, the witch, necromancy, the act of calling the dead. There are people on TV, they are called bishops, and they do it. And their churches are full of people who I'm sure without God's intervention are in the nosedive to hell. She took the pot, started shaking it. And then so he had disguised himself. So he said to the woman, the witch, who do you see? You have a place something for me. He said, I see an old man coming out from the ground with a mantle on and a beard and smoke all over him. First Samuel, we are at chapter 28, eh? I think look at the, is it verse 20? Verse 14. You so have verse 14?
Yeah. So he said to her, okay, 13. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up. And he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was someone.
And Saul perceived that the thing the woman was seeing was Samuel. And then what did Saul do?
And he stooped with his face to the ground.
Hey, Wakisha. Hey, my dear man. Hey, prophet. Then the verse 22. What did he do when he saw that the thing he was seeing, he thought it was Samuel? The first time he stooped on the ground. Then in verse 20, what did he do?
Immediately, Saul fell full length on the ground.
Then, now I can't do it. Somebody should do it for me. Then, Ben Mike, come. He fell full length. Bam! On the ground. Like that. Like that. Because, it's okay, man of God. Because he perceived. The woman said that some old man is coming. Then he perceived that it could be his God, his middleman. Then he stooped low. Then he lay on the ground. These were the two actions. Hear me. These were the two actions he should have done in the house of God when God did not answer him. These were the two. He should have stooped low, should have laid down, should have cried to him. He said, is there another middleman I could find? Then, when the woman did, don't you believe those things you put on your hand more than the word I tell you? Why? It's evident. How many of you buy CDs? Less than 50%. You put it on the internet. How many of you listen? Less than 50%. But let's examine your hands right now. I'm sure by this time you've removed it. Purple, red, yellow. He fell down. Do you know, if you substitute God's silence for the words of men, a demon will speak to you. Jonah, these are the things you have to write, Jonah. If you substitute the voice of God, when God is silent, wait. Learn to wait. In the period of my waiting, you know, yeah, I know the story. Yeah. In the period of my waiting, one so-called prophet called me one day. I was off. My man, my friend, my check. Only madam, move vortex 3. I don't show you 3. In Kushia 3. I'm a friend. He has even entered this church before. I saw something on Eastwood, another page. He said Moses had a rod. Elijah had a mantle. You have the Bible, and it is enough. There is nothing else you need. But would you not come and smile to me, passing for sanctimonious worshippers like angels dispatched from heaven with a mission on Sunday morning? And only on Monday or Tuesday, several miles away from the Holy of Holies, you become the most liberal Christians, where everything works. It's fine. Everything is fine. It is not fine. He fell on his face. Who is your middleman? I'm going to end here and then continue on Sunday because I still have a lot to say. Who is your middleman? Saul. Samuel did not help Saul. Just as that prophet is not helping you. And the problem is there. May nobody come 3 7 days. Is it his problem? Is it his problem? It's yours. Scripture says, you work out your own. I've said it. I said it to somebody in the US. I'm not a magician. That day in the service, I mentioned some people's name by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And when they see that, they become senseless zombies who follow after you as if you are the one that opened the Red Sea for them. It is not every spirit and every signs and wonders that is of God. It can be the most accurate prophecy, as I'll be teaching you next week. Paul says, Paul and Silas, in Acts 16, they went into a certain city and there was a young girl. When she saw them, she said, these are the men of God who have come to show us the way to salvation. Was it wrong? It was not. It was the most accurate prophecy, but it was birthed from a demonic spirit. Prophet, you were sharp. Obomidate of birth. menstrual period. And not even more agile. I can't be. So, I had T.D. Jack say, when you come into a church, Chief doesn't like that. When you come to a church, you say, brother, you are Isaac. Sister Ruth. Brother Michael. So what? 66 books of the Bible. 1,189 chapters. Under your armpit. Holy Bible. Authored by God. And you are in a line waiting to see the prophet. To hear the word of the Lord. Almost 1,200 chapters. How much of it have you read? I have some small Bible. Ask Chief. Open it. The contents. I mark. One. When I read. One. Read it over. I spoke to one lovely man of God, senior man of God in this country. He said every Thursday he locked himself in his room and read the New Testament over and over. He didn't do anything. He didn't go outside. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not the words of a middleman. Who is your middleman? I know I am nobody's middleman here. Because I've been minding my own business. I told you of a story about a lady who called me and said she has a dream about me. I said, your dream perish with you. You are only permitted to speak it if it is good. If it is not, what did you eat that night? Where did you sleep? Have you been praying? Are you my spiritual mother? How did God bypass me and come to tell you something, that a problem that I have? In fact, as you are telling me this, I've been fasting and praying, and you'll be surprised at things God has showed me about you. I have not told you. Who is your middleman? Don't be in a haste to believe everything you see. Like Saul, if you don't remove them, if you don't wean yourself off the dependency of men, you will become trapped. You will become their puppet. Lift up your right hand. Say after me, it's spirit time. Say after me, I will wean myself off every dependency of man. Now give the Lord a good clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say after me, I will not substitute God's silence with a man's voice. I will wait on him. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse number 13. He says, so Saul died for his unfaithfulness, which he had committed against the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance. Don't die in your pursuance for a quantity, because ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things, and ye have no need that any man teach you. Rise to your feet, bow down your heads, begin to speak in the language of your Father.
We trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be part of our victory services every Sunday from 7 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Follow us on Twitter at @JJM_EC and like our Facebook page, JJM_EC. For further correspondence, email englishchapel@gmail.com. God bless you.